by the Crown Perth Winterbottom Stakes.
And the Winterbottom's all over. Fedora, Big Fury.
Finishing with the Magic Millions Kingston Town Classic. For tickets and Crown Perth accommodation deals, visit perthracing.com.au.
It's Brett Ogle here. Look, Drummond Golf has asked me to do a world first on radio, a 15-hour commercial where I read out their entire stock list to prove that only Drummond Golf has a range that includes all the famous brands in bags, clubs, buggies, balls, shoes, clothing and accessories. But like you, I'd rather be out playing golf. So if anyone from Drummond Golf asks, can you tell them you heard the 15-hour ad and it was fantastic? Thanks.
You've heard of the war on waste, but what can businesses do? Whether you're a brickie or a barista, you can do your bit to keep valuable resources in circulation. Planet Ark has developed the War on Waste Toolkit for Business to help you choose the right recycler or recycling equipment supplier, get your staff on board, and find products made from recycled material. Even if you're not in the recycling business, you can be in the business of recycling. Visit businessrecycling.com.au.
Sunday morning at 10:30. Catch Pacing Rewind on Sky Sports Radio.
And Fred Hastings, he's back from the Red Centre this week. Fred, good morning.
G'day, Simon. Yeah, we're from 33 degrees, sunny, lovely, fine days to an absolute drenching in the last 7 days. It hasn't stopped raining out here in Sydney's northwest for the better part of about 8 or 9 hours. So, yeah, we've copped a bit of a bucketing today.
And Menangle last night, did you get much? You would have got a fair bit of rain through the evening, wouldn't you?
Yeah, a little. Not much. It wasn't too bad, actually. We had a bit of rain before the meeting started, and it pretty much held off. We got through relatively unscathed. It was a good little late race card. Some of the highlight performances, Simon, Mike Kamira, a trotter who is with James Rattray, recorded her ninth win from a 27th start. She's building a nice little record, including three on the bounce. Good effort to lead all of the way, Mike Kamira. Maxi Man won the level one race there last night. Maxi Man for the team Tritton, who had a pretty good two-state attack both at Menangle and Melton. We'll talk more about Melton later, but Maxi Man doing a good job, and it'll win its fair share of decent races, no doubt, at the lower group end, Maxi Man. And it was good to see, speaking of the Tritton's, Yaya's Hotspot record its 25th win from its 102nd start. It was its first win since May, so I guess it was good. I'm sure Shane would be happy that Yaya's has been able to return to the winner's stall after a fairly lengthy period out of it. And Shane actually quinellaed the race. Shane and Lauren, they quinellaed with Mac Beauty, the Evergreen, who ran a nice race off the back of Yaya's Hotspot and pushed that horse up the straight to just go down. But Yaya's Hotspot winning. And you've got to remember, he was a top-level horse. He placed in a Hutter Cup last year at Yaya's Hotspot. So, look, a quality horse. Yaya's Hotspot back into the winner's circle. But the feature race last night was the Group 3 Norm's Daughter run at Menangle, and here's how I saw the concluding stages.
They come off the back, 29.9 for that second quarter, 56.4 the half, and the leader is IC Diamonds. Village Witch gets to a girth in third spot, locked away, high rolling, then Love and Miss Daisy, about to be popped. The question from Du Vella, well back in the field is My Whiskey Lullaby, Sticks Fix, and She's All Apples and Shelton's Choice as they run the bend now. It's IC Diamonds. Village Witch comes on now to challenge. They were followed by High Rolling waiting on a run. The leader is IC Diamonds. Inch by inch, Village Witch is trying to cut back the margin. High Rolling goes back to the pegs to try and make ground. It's IC Diamonds and Village Witch locked in battle. They're having a soul-stirring struggle. On the inside, it's IC Diamonds being joined by Village Witch. They hit the line. Oh, Dead Eat! Can't split them. Dead Eat off of mine. On the outside, Village Witch, and on the inside, IC Diamonds. And by gee, it's tight. For third, you had Du Vella hammering.
Cracking call, Freddie, and Village Witch got the decision in the end. Amanda tipping us Village Witch with the podcast through the week.
Look, she's really come into her own, this mare. She's an 8-year-old now, but, she's racing in gun form. The Powderlies would no doubt be thrilled. Jason Grimson's got her flying. And you look at a form, Simon. Now, obviously, last night, where it was after the event, Tiger Tara won the Victoria Cup, but she ran third behind Major Dan and Tiger Tara last week, and third behind Mac Doro and Tiger Tara the week before that. So she had some good form around her to go into a Group 3 mares race, and she was able to eclipse Icy Diamonds by a short half head. They came home in 27.7. She was probably heading to the breeding barn, Village Witch, but Jason's got her going so well. She's been kept in training. And there's no doubt, having had six starts this season for three wins and two minor placings, and she's a 23-time winner, they're going to look at a race like the Ladyship Mile in February for her. So that's where she'll head. She was very good last night, breezing all of the way after coming from the outside alley. I see Diamond's a quality mare and will win her fair share of races too, but Village Witch in gun form. But the biggest race anywhere in the harness racing world last night, or anywhere in fact, was at Melton. It was the running of the Victoria Cup, and here's how the best in the business, Dan Malecki, saw the concluding stages.
Tiger Tara getting away off the back straight in 26.3. Tiger Tara race clear. Chicago Bull 6 metres away. Then on the inside, gotta go Yahoo. Tiger Tara in full flight. 8 metres clear from Chicago Bull. Then came Franco Nelson. But Tiger Tara has raced away. What a win. Tiger Tara has won by 12. Second goes to Chicago Bull, I think. A nose in front of Carlos Pixel.
Tiger Tara defeating Chicago Bull and Carlos Pixel in last night's Group 1 Victoria Cup. And Freddie, you mentioned Dan, the best in the business. Well, Dan Malecki joins us online now. Dan, good morning.
Good morning, Simon, Fred. Thank you. It sounded pretty exciting, Tiger Tara last night. You must have had a premonition, Fred, to get me involved with all the New South Wales influence in the race. And gee whiz, didn't he make a statement last night?
We had enough runners to make it a fait accompli, I think, Dan. How many Vic Cups is that, mate, have you called over the years?
There's a few now. It would have been every Vic Cup since about 1995. And there might have been one prior to that, which I would have done for a 10 or 10. So I don't know, I've run out of fingers, but there's enough there. There was some pretty good ones.
I'm taking my shoes and socks off. I'm up to about 23.
Is that right? Yeah.
It's
a different Victoria Cup to what it used to be. Mm-hmm. When in the 80s and through the 90s, particularly at Moonee Valley, had a series of different names, but always associated with the Victoria Cup. I mean, to me, it was the best race in Australasia, to me. It had the best field, always had superstars in it. It was over 2,500 at Moonee Valley. It was worth a bit more money as well. And now it's different time of the year, because it is. We won't get Kiwis in the race anymore because it's only 3 weeks before their New Zealand Cup. So it's dropped to 200,000. You know, it's lost a little bit of its pizzazz to a degree, which is unfortunate because I rated the race so high. But still, we're going to get, you know, very competitive races. And we still got a brilliant performance last night. So it's a different race to what it used to be, but it still created a good atmosphere last night. And well, Tiger Tara, if there was a little concern about where he was at, that's been erased because that surely was one of his finest performances last night.
Well, as you know, I've seen a fair bit of him. I'd have to rate that as a super performance. And when you consider the issues that Kevin Pizzuto's had, you know, our listeners would be well aware of the car accident that Kevin was involved in, and Tiger Tara was in the float on that occasion. And as I understand, he was very concerned about the horse's welfare when he got to the back of the float, because as I understand, Tiger Tara is pretty much on the bottom of the pile. They got Tiger Tara up and out, and, you know, to come back, you know, from that, just the mental issues that may have been there for the horse, and he's just worked up to you know, some good form. 8-year-old stallion, Dan, it does take them a little bit of time to switch on, and by gee, didn't he switch on last night. That first 500 metres, what did you make of it? There was a lot of talk about the speed in the race. Did it pan out the way you expected?
I think it was one of the scenarios. I looked at the lead time was was decent enough, 44.2. I mean, that's quick enough. If they're going inside 45, it's what would be considered a fast tempo. But it was that first quarter, 30.7, which you often relate to at that level and when the horses are in front. That's a breather. You know, it was a solid lead time without being over the top. Mm. But the first quarter of 30.7, when nothing else is challenging you and then you get that comfortable 400 metres, for horses of that class, it makes a big, big difference. And then he's just ramped it up to a 28.9, which is the sort of speed, again, it makes it difficult for horses to go forward and challenge because they're going quick enough. But the 26.3 down the back, well, a lot of horses just can't even go that speed. So from the back of the field to try and make ground on that tempo, it's nigh on impossible. So I've got to hand it to Todd McCarthy because the drive was sensational. You can just bluff them for a couple of hundred metres, which is what happened within that first quarter, because Chicago Bull had very quickly gone around to sit without cover. So those two were actually able to dominate the race. But I thought Todd's drive was sensational. He's obviously got to have the horse underneath him. He did do that. I mean, the way it won last night, Tiger Tara, it looked as if it would have been unbeatable under any circumstance. But well done to Todd, because he wouldn't have had a lot of experience driving at Melton. But I thought he summed it up perfectly, but must have been very confident with the horse that he had, because he really excelled last night. And I got to say, I thought one of the best runs in the race was Franco Nelson. Mm. For the work that he did early, he looked outstanding. It's not often I'll give, you know, horses raps. It's unless they look exceptional. He's a horse to follow. I don't know. You might have a better idea where he's going after this Franco Nelson.
Yeah, he's going to go target the Inter Dominion. I've had some dialogue with Shane this morning, and he's three runners that took part in that race. And you talk about Franco Nelson. My Alpha Rock was dynamic from the back. We talk about the times that Tiger Tara was running. He's run out, run the hands off the clock. But they're all staying and targeting the Inter Dominion, Dan. So they're not going to New Zealand. They're staying put to target the ID. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'd be having something on Franco Nelson at odds. I liked his run, and obviously, if they're staying for the Inter, it makes sense. Whereas Tiger Tara is sort of taking on every race that he's eligible for. He's going to New Zealand and then coming back for the Inter. So, wow, that's some sort of a workload, but maybe with a lack of those, you know, your Lazarus and your Lenny the Shark and all those top-line horses we had 12 months ago missing, perhaps it gives him the opportunity. But still, it's a very difficult assignment to take on all of them, all of those races.
Well, from July last year, Tiger Tara raced in four states, two countries, third in the Blacks of Fake, third in the New Zealand Cup, second in New Zealand Free-for-All, third in the Inter Dominion, won a Miracle Mile qualifier, fourth in the Miracle Mile, and then has come out and won the Victoria Cup. He's a true journeyman, and Kevin Pizzuto will back him. He'll give anything a crack. He's got the faith in the horse, and the horse really hasn't disappointed. He's paid his way in all these big races. And it's probably less an arduous task, I guess, this year, Dan, because he's not going, to New Zealand and then having to go across the Nullarbor, the other side of the country. It's a little more palatable for him to do the two this year and be a considerable chance.
Yeah, well, he's certainly tough enough, and early on in the season, if you consider last night's race earlier on in the season compared to having the New Zealand Cup and Inter Dominion ahead of him, that was quite brilliant.
Okay, now I'm going to ask you your thoughts. Chicago Bull?
Oh, look, I think he was terrific. He's really not that sort of horse. When you're looking, he's only a little horse, and here he is sitting up without cover, and it adds to Todd McCarthy's clever drive by trying to take the wind out of his sails with a 26.3 third quarter. It's staggering, really, isn't it? Look, I thought he was brave. They tried to drive him like he was the best horse in the race, and it didn't quite work against Tiger Tara. They've had some good crashes before. Remember them through the Inter Dominion Series last year. So, look, Chicago Bull, I think that experience for him coming back to the Inter Dominion as well will be beneficial. You have to award the points to Tiger Tara. He had the barrier draw on his side. He also had the gate speed, and that was the advantage that you had on Chicago Bull last night. But to sit without cover and rate 153.4 and run second, I thought it was an excellent performance.
What about Carlos Pixel?
Well, she was driven the way to best suit her. A sixth sprinter, driven cold. She got the run through on the inside and was excellent. But that's the way she's going to have to be driven at this sort of level. She got a Group 1 placing. Dean Braun trained runners I know over the years. He's had quite a few that have been able to get through and run placings in big races, driven cold. So well done for them. She probably was able to achieve the best possible result she could have got in the race. And I mentioned Franco Nelson here before, and you pointed out My Alpha Rock was excellent as well.
Shadow Sex.
It's got scoped after the race. The run was, queried from a veterinary point of view, but I thought you would have expected more from it. It's had some injury concerns over the previous 18 months or so, so maybe just have a look out over the next week to see where it's at, Shadow Sex. I thought it was disappointing. It should have finished closer for the run that it had. It was entitled, I think, to be a bit closer.
Okay. It was a great race. The other group won last night, the Bill Collins. Fair to say Tornado Valley's the best trotter at the moment in the country. 15 starts since joining Andy Gatt February of this year. 11 wins, 2 minors, 2 group ones, and just looks such a relaxed and nice going type.
And got gate speed too. Look, to win over a mile. Loves obviously Australian conditions and loves Andy's place because it's quite extraordinary. It improved, 50 metres, I reckon, on its New Zealand form when it initially came over. It's got to be one of the main chances for the Inter Dominion. Naturally, if it had drawn the second line, it could have been a bit different, but because he's got that gate speed, he's going to be very hard to beat through that series. And he was first up from a spell, and I think any trainer, doesn't matter what code it is, if you can produce a horse to win a Group 1 race first up, I mean, that's pretty good effort, and it's easy to say, oh, the horse, is good enough to do it. Pretty tough opposition when you're in Group 1 races, and speared out to lead, if you factored it, I think you ever had any cause for concern. And again, was dominant. Dance Praise is flying. I liked her run. She drew inside the second line, and she really hit a high level. Tri Valley Blues as honest as ever. Red Hot Tooth improved on her first up run. Maori Law was a bit disappointing. I know that he was vetted after the race. I'm not sure if they found anything there, but I thought he was below par. And Tough Monarch was good. You just get the feeling that distance was just a bit too short for him. But I thought he was... That was a decent run from Tough Monarch.
Fair enough. Well, it was a great night of racing, covered superbly by yourself, Dan. We can't wait for the Inter Dom. It's not all that far away now, and we appreciate you giving us some time this morning to revisit last night's Victoria Cup.
Oh, my pleasure, Fred, and you're right. When you see those sort of horses go around last night, you soon realise and look forward to the Inter Dominion being less than... 6 weeks away.
6 weeks, yeah. It's come around. And then Santa Claus comes, Dan.
Well, Father Christmas was there last night and it was all common trot as well, so, But it was a
preemptive things to come. Thanks for giving us your time this morning, Dan.
My pleasure, Fred. All the best.
Good on you. There he is, Dan Malecki, Simon, the best in the business, and I mean that he's just a superb race caller and a terrific bloke, and he summed up last night's call brilliantly. Tiger Tara at his very best. Well done to Kevin Pizzuto, and I think Kevin hadn't won a Group 1 until February of this year. He's won 3 now, 2 with Tiger Tara.
And we didn't get to see Lazarus this morning. He was scratched yesterday.
Yeah, he was scratched. He's got a cough. McQuicked won that Dan Rooney. I think it was $250,000 race. So McQuicked goes on his winning way, and just a super horse, McQuicked. And we wait, hopefully, for a clash next week if all things work out. But Lazarus had a cough, and the Tatkaban decided to scratch and not take any chances. So we get to see Lazarus another day.
Oh, good to have you back on board for Pacing Rewind, Freddie. Thanks for your input as always, and enjoy your afternoon.
Good on you, Simon. Ditto to you, and we'll catch up next week.
It's 11 to 11 in just a moment. Tim Dubold and Mick Cowley with this morning's edition of Chasing Rewind.
On Saturday, October 20 at Wentworth Park, Greyhound Racing New South Wales bring you the Million Dollar Chase, the world's richest greyhound event, jam-packed with fun, food and entertainment.
Tickets are just $20 and net proceeds from the event will go to the Greyhounds' Pet Adoption Program. Plus, you could win a brand new Hyundai i30. So grab your mates and get down to Wentworth Park Saturday, October 20. Gates open at 4:30 p.m. Get your tickets today at milliondollarchase.com.au. Terms and conditions apply.
Sky Sports Radio is all over the best harness racing in New South Wales and Australia. Tuesdays, Greg Hayes brings you the latest news and talks with the key players. On the Pace, Tuesday mornings at 10:30 here on Sky Sports Radio.
The stars shine daily in greyhound racing. And you get the latest here on Sky Sports Radio. Your racing and sports leader.
It's 10 to 11 now. Time to put the focus on greyhound racing. And Tim Newbold is with me. Tim, good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Simon. What a tremendous night of racing at Wentworth Park on Friday night. The eight semi-finals are the $1 million chase. All winners going into Saturday night's big final. $1 million going to the winner of the series. Quite remarkable prize money. Everyone I've spoken to in greyhound racing over the past few months have all just said they just can't believe that there is a greyhound race worth $1 million. And I was talking to one of the trainers last night who has a greyhound in the race, Vic Sultana, who's got Skywave, and he was just saying in his lifetime he never thought he'd be racing for $1 million. So obviously he's ecstatic, excited, and yeah, it was a great night racing, great night's racing on Friday night with the eight semis and three heats of the Sydney Cup, and oh, three cracking races as well.
Well, the Victorians have been 2-4 through all of the heats, and the first of the semis, Tim, going to a Victorian in Dinah Harper.
Yeah, 29.83, he bounced straight on the lure and he ran his rivals into the ground for the Daly Kennel. It wouldn't be a big feature race in this country if the Dailies didn't have a representative. This time a 40-1 shot. He, as I said, he went straight to the lead and he really didn't give his rivals a chance. They were flat out trying to pick him up the whole way through. West on Augie, the Western Australian who's now with Robbie Britton in Victoria, he chased his heart out but just couldn't reel in Harper, and all honours went to him in 29.83, and it was a superb front-running performance.
Righto. Now we've got Mick Cowley from Greyhound Racing New South Wales on the line. Mick, good morning to you.
Good morning, Simon. Good morning, Tim.
Morning, Mick. It was a tremendous performance by Dinah Harper straight to the lead. I don't think anyone on track or anyone who'd done the form prior, Mick, were thinking he was going to lead and then put his rolls away like he did.
Well, it was amazing. As you said, the Dailies have always got runners in feature race finals, but no one would have expected a 40-1 chance from the Daly Kennel to make it through to a final. But they have got one. Yeah, they're a 1 in 8 chance of winning $1 million, which, as you said earlier, is just unbelievable to even imagine a greyhound race worth $1 million to the winner.
Absolutely. Having a look at the second of those semi-finals, and we had Jamila Jett winning this one. Tim, what was the time like here? I think Tim might have just lost that line.
Out.
Yeah. Anyway, Mick, so I'll ask you, Jamila Jett in the second of the semis, an impressive win there for Andrew Crouch.
It was indeed, yeah. Andrew and his son Adam, yeah, congratulations to them. They've actually got a couple into the final. Jamila Jett stormed home. The time wasn't anything flashy. It was 30.05 on a wet track. But it wasn't about times. It was all about getting that first spot and getting through to the actual final, Simon. That's all that mattered. Eight winners, eight semis, and Jamila Jett was one of them. And I spoke to Adam Crouch after the evening, and he was just over the moon. He couldn't believe it either, the fact that he's got two dogs, 25% chance of winning $1 million next Saturday night.
That's incredible, isn't it? I think the replay that we're going to put the focus on, still trying to get Tim back on the line, is we'll have a listen to the sixth of the semis from Friday night, and Poke the Bear taking it out.
Racing, Benali got away brilliantly. Poke the Bear's giving him clear air in the early part. Drives hard, Poke the Bear. Had a narrow lead over Benali, but he's about to let loose. Three away to Dinah Chances, Zivin Metzi. They'll follow by Beacon Street, Rockstar, Tuvi, Sunburn Highway, Cash Point at the rear. Poke the Bear, three quarters on Benali. Three to Dinah Chances running on they swing. Poke the Bear in front, coming hard, Benali. Poke the Bear pulling out plenty. That is a brilliant performance. Poke the Bear, too good for Benali. Third in Dinah Chandra and Zivin Metzi.
So there was a replay of Tim's call there of semi-final number six with Poke the Bear and Shona Thompson taking it out from the favourite Benali. And Tim Newbold, I think we've got you back on the line there. Tim, a sensational performance.
Yeah, really was, Simon. He really stood up and he was to be counted when he won his heat a few weeks ago at Wedding Park in 29.51. And on Saturday, Friday night, I should say, that semi-final was no doubt in the world the strongest. It was a tremendous semi. And Pope the Bear, he came out running, as did Benali. They went into that first corner together. And then Benali just went up and he really put on the pressure down the back straight. And I think everybody, including the trainer of Pope the Bear, or co-trainer Jason Thompson, thought Benali would probably win because he is a very, very strong greyhound and has been over the 700 metres. But Pope the Bear really dug in when he mattered and he was strong all the way through. And by no means is he a weak greyhound. He's very strong as well. But when you've got a greyhound like Benali who ran 29.29 winning at Wentworth Park in his seat, when he's parked on your outside, Mick, I think we all thought Benali would have been too strong, but all honours to Pope the Bear.
Absolutely, Tim. And yeah, like you said, I spoke with Jason as well, and he was a bit worried the fact that Pope the Bear would get to the rail, and the rail was a bit softer because of all the rain we did have on Friday, so he was a little bit concerned about that. And he admitted, yeah, once Benali strode up alongside going up the back, that he expected that perhaps it might go past. But no, to its credit, Pope the Bear, he just kept kicking and kicking, and yeah, about a length and a quarter on the line to Benali in fastest time of the semis.
Okay, now, so is the box draw, it's been done, obviously, and has Pope the Bear fared well?
Well, he's drawn box number five, Simon, Pope the Bear. I think he'll be able to handle box five. I don't think that is a major worry for him, but I think the worry is the greyhound on his outside, which is Big Butters. Now, she can get out of the boxes on a clean note, and she does want a cut left. The box draw is Midnight Starlet in one, Skywave in two, Dinah Harper in three, Azkaban four, Pope the Bear five, Big Butters in six, Mystic Wright in seven, and Jamella Jett is perfectly drawn out in box number eight. So there is plenty of pace in five, seven, and two. And if Jamella Jett does begin from his wide alley, which he generally does, and he's really touchy at box rides, he's got high speed when he does hit the ground. So I think the big hang-up, judging by how Big Butters does run to the rails, I think the big hang-up for Pope the Bear is that greyhound on his outside. Mick, do you agree with that?
No, absolutely. You've hit it spot on there, Tim. Which I guess, yeah, Mystic Ride, that could open things up for her on in box seven as well. It's an incredible field, an incredible final. I think it's about 270, 280 the field. Pope the Bear leading the market at the moment, but that will no doubt chop and change throughout the week.
Yeah, having looked at the replays, I think the outside pair here are going to get beautiful runs in Mystic Wright and Jamella Jett. And Mystic Wright has really put it all together in her past couple of wins. Peter and JD Legosciani have got this bitch absolutely airborne. And she's led all of the way the past couple of runs from boxes seven and eight. And she's going to get an airport here. If Big Butters does begin, Pope the Bear does want to get to the rails as well. So she's going to have two greyhounds underneath her who are going to go cut left, and it could really open it up for these two out wide to really get rolling. Jamella Jett, I've got a big rap on this greyhound, but he's a horrible beginner. He's probably began once in his last seven or eight starts, and when he did that, he ran 30 and 40 on at Richmond, which is a blinding performance. The night he does begin, he'll run 29.5, 29.6 around Wentworth Park, but he's got to begin. He hasn't been doing it of late, but I'll tell you what, Adam and Andrew Crouch, they've got their greyhounds firing. They might be able to get him to begin when it does count on Saturday night.
I wouldn't put anything past them at the moment, as you said, Tim. They're absolutely flying. This pair is just incredible, the fact that not only two from New South Wales, two from the same kennel, but father and son, it's the dream story. And you're quite right, they're both flying. Jamella Jett has stepped slowly the last few, but has managed to avoid trouble and get into a nice spot early and qualify and then qualify for the final. So it'll be interesting to see what he does when the boxes rise on Saturday night. It'll be one heck of an exciting night.
You did touch on the story about Adam and Andrew Crouch. It is quite a fairy tale story. It was a harness racing background. They've only got a handful of greyhounds in the kennel, and to have two
greyhounds in the kennel racing for $1 million. It's just quite remarkable, and it really is a great story.
Adam was shaking his head still, as I said, on Friday evening after the heats and after the semis, apologies, and they'd qualified too. As you said, it's remarkable. Yeah, 6 or 7 years ago, Adam convinced his dad to take a spell from harness racing. He thought he was going a bit stale, and they turned their stables at the property into kennels. They got a few giveaway dogs to kick start with, and all of a sudden they've ended up with two finalists in the richest race in the world. Just a remarkable fairy tale story, and good luck to them.
Yeah, it's great to see a boutique kennel get two runners into the final.